Well, every week we talk Wisconsin sports. I'm DAQ sports reporter Mike Clemens. Top of the morning to you there, Mr. Clemens.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, so how you doing after your highfalutin top of the hotel five-star experience there in Green Bay for the draft last weekend?
I'm repacking. I'm driving up to, right after we get off the phone here, I'm driving up to Green Bay because we've got rookie minicamp starting
today. Ah, rookie minicamp. So what's your thoughts on the whole wrap-up of the draft? Did Green Bay handle all the people well? Did things seem to go pretty good? Or?
Yeah, in terms of Brian Gutekunst, he had eight players picked. He took four on offense, and he spent, you know, day three pretty much stocking up the defense. Four on offense, four on defense. I was pretty sure he wanted to come out of here with maybe 10 players. Matter of fact, I asked him about that on Saturday night because, you know, it seemed like after that gigantic trade for the Jaguars to move up to number two, and take the wide receiver, you know, cornerback that everybody coveted, it was kind of a smooth you know, draft for the next 3 days after that. Except I was also looking at the grid the other day, and going into the draft, there were already a lot of trades on the board that had happened in the last year for players to acquire veteran players, and then they give away future draft picks. And, you know, there's a better class of GMs out there now. Like, you got Elliot Wolf, Ron's son, you know, former Packer guy, run the Patriots. John Schneider's been with the Seahawks for years. These guys they're not quite as wild during trade. Some people said, well, it's not that good of a draft class. I said, no, I just think these guys got this stuff a little bit more planned out, and they grade these players like Green Bay does, a lot of them in terms of the character of the player.
Yeah.
They're spending more time. I mean, I just heard Jason Light, the GM of the Bucks, say, you know, we take our board and we line up in numerical order the best athletes. Then we eliminate the D-bags and the head cases, and because some of them are going to go in the first round. And we go and tell our owners, you know, the Glazers, okay, you're going to see these players come off the board in the first round of other teams. Here's why we don't want them. They're head cases.
Yeah.
Like the one kid who they brought in for a 30 visit who halfway through the day, just put on a ski mask. Like, I don't want to talk to anybody anymore. They'll bring them in for those visits. Like, they start at 7:30 in the morning. And you meet with this coach and that coach. And then you meet with this training staff. And then you meet with this guy. And then you meet with a GM. I mean, and they put them through the rigors.
Yeah.
And they see what kid wants to work hard. So,
They got their two wide receivers, and it seems like Packer fans were pretty happy that they were just pretty happy that they addressed that.
Yeah, and then there was a great moment on Saturday where a kid named Varian Sorrell, an edge, a defensive lineman rusher out of Texas, same school as Matthew Golden, your first-round pick, he had decided, I want that moment to walk across the stage. His agent said, you probably won't go to the second or third round. And when he didn't, they went ahead and stayed another night. And his mom and dad, we were picking up the tab for him and the family and some friends to come to Green Bay. And so then when the Packers, they had no idea the kid was in town. Brian's just going by his board.
Yeah.
They pick him. Someone alerted Roger Goodell, hey, the kid's actually sitting over there in the green room. Really? Oh, hey, look, I'll read this one. So he goes out and announces Varian Sorrell goes to the Green Bay Packers with the 124th pick overall in the fourth round. The kid goes out there. He gets his moment on the stage in front of the Packer fans in Green Bay.
Nice.
Then he walks through Lambeau Field, does a Lambeau leap, then comes in the media auditorium with his eight family members. And a couple of questions in, someone said, wow, this is really something. You got a, you know, big group of family here. He broke down crying. And because he was so grateful for what his parents have sacrificed all these years and for this moment to happen to him. That was a tremendous moment.
Yeah, lots of great stories with that draft. What a great weekend for the Green Bay area. So let's talk about something a little less positive. The Bucks having their season ended. And the national media rumors are flying now. He's not going anywhere, though. Giannis is staying, right? He's a good guy. The Bucks would be fools to let him go, right?
Yeah, Bucks end up losing, you know, they're just 4-1 to the Pacers. Pacers have just got three-point shots that just wouldn't quit. They're probably still seeing them in their nightmares. Damian Lillard, oh, my gosh, to come back from the blood clot and then blow out his Achilles, that's going to take a year. When he comes back, he'll be like 36, 37 years old. It's really tough, and they don't. I can't believe they don't have any draft picks until 2031 to, you know, continue to, you know, freshen or build the roster. But you're going to hear these Giannis stories, and I'm telling you, I am not a conspiracy theory guy, Joel. It's just that Giannis has told the local guys that cover it every day, I love it here. I want to make it work here. You know, and but there's no question that there are some NBA team owners and some of these networks that pay hundreds of million dollars for the rights to the NBA. They're trying to squeeze out every decimal point of ratings that they can. And if Giannis was in a New York market or an L.A. market like for the Lakers, that's more ratings for them. That's all they don't cover teams in Indianapolis or Milwaukee. They play those games at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just a business. And yet, you know, Giannis is going to see this stuff on the TV every day. And I don't know if he thinks that maybe the team's trying to get rid of him. I mean, there's all those kinds of things that happen. And but you know, John Horst, who just got renewed as the general manager, he's done everything out of his power to keep Giannis happy. At the same time, he's had to make moves like, all right, we need to move on from, Brooke Lopez's brother. We can't have Thanasis, your brother, on the team anymore. We need every roster spot we can if you want to win. Mm-hmm. So he's made those kinds of sacrifices. And then they waited until the very last minute before they moved on from Chris Middleton and his two surgically repaired, ankles. So, Horst is trying to do that balance to keep Giannis happy, but do what's best for the team.
Yeah, well, with the $50 million plus that Dame is going to get next year and not probably playing most of the year, that's going to make it real hard. They're going to need somebody magical to step up in that $15, $20 million a year range and take that step forward to give Giannis that Robin to the Batman, right?
GM John Horst is going to have a very busy summer.
Yeah, exactly. Big weekend at AmFam Field. The Brewers and the Cubs, always a fun atmosphere in Milwaukee when the
Craig
Cubs.
Council,
yeah.
Oh, it's going to be packed tonight at AmFam Field. Craig Council and the boys from Chicago, they're in first place. I think they're 19-16. Brewers are now at 500, 16-16 wins and losses after that shutout loss yesterday to the White Sox, 8-0. Down on the south side. Quinn Priester, right-hander, will be on the mound for game one tonight of the three-game series, but yeah, it's going to be packed.
Yeah, so Brandon Woodruff is coming back soon, hopefully. I heard some stuff on him.
Yeah, I think he's had like four starts now with the Timber Rattlers.
Yeah.
And, like he's going 5 2/3 innings, 3 hits, 1 run scored. And he says he feels pretty good. He's been out a year and a half from that shoulder surgery, but that's the kind of veteran you want to put on the mound. So it looks to me like he could be back in Milwaukee by, let's say, Memorial Day, and no one will be more happier to, you'll have Pat Murphy driving to Appleton to pick him up.
It'll be like when the Vikings picked up Brett Favre at the airport. Huh?
Exactly, like Brad Childress, yeah, exactly.
So, how close is the pitching staff back to being healthy? They've got the hitting, right? I mean, but if the pitching gets going, if they can pick up a guy or two, I mean, there's pretty good optimism this team can be right there at the end of the season, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's hit or miss. I mean, Tobias Myers, he comes back from, what was it, a quad, and he just got shelled the other night. So, there's still some of these guys that they're bringing back that have performed for them in the past, but they're not 100% yet, and, that was... That was evident the other night. And, there's guys that they bring in that their debut is great, and then, they get drilled the next night. So it's, they're making it up as they go. But
There's
also improvement. Like Abner Uribe is a kid that I was there the first night he got on the mound. It was almost 2 years ago. The kid can throw 100 miles an hour.
Hmm.
And I asked Murphy about this because I love this guy's delivery. It's an over-the-top. This looks like a delivery that, could last you 10, 15 years, a long time in the big leagues. But Murphy says he's got to find more pitches. You just can't come in and throw three digits. You'll get drilled in the big leagues. And so he's working on a slider, which worked for him the other night in a couple of pitches. He's got to put a little more motion on the ball and always, improve his command.
I heard no better clip than you've done for Civic Media than the one where Pat Murphy yawned right in the middle of the clip. That was awesome.
I know. He is so much fun to cover. He just doesn't care. And that makes him dangerous. It's like, I'm 66,
Yeah.
This is it. This is it for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what anybody says. I'm just doing mine. And the players love it. Joel,
yeah,
they love it.
Laid back. So who you got in the Kentucky Derby tomorrow? Are you a Derby guy? Do you follow that?
Yeah, I like to watch it. I've never been. I've been to Churchill Downs, you know, off season when it's empty, and I've actually never been to a horse race.
Yeah.
I've never been. I would love to go. But yeah, it's tomorrow night, 151st. Citizen Bull is the favorite right now. He went from 20-1 to 16-1, I saw this morning. Mm-hmm. And his trainer is that Bob Baffert guy, the guy with the white hair and the sunglasses.
Yeah.
Who's, I think he's won like a half dozen derbies, but he's coming back from a 3-year suspension. He had mm-hmm. a horse named Medina Spirit who ran and died, and they did the autopsy, and he had steroids in him, and so
yeah.
Dude got suspended, but he got reinstated this season, so that's his horses. The horse I'm pulling for is one named Journalism. I'd love to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I got Tiztastic coming out of the 14 slot, ridden by Joel Rosario. There you go. Tiztastic.
There you go.
Mr.
Well,
Club?
if he gets crosses the finish line, I'll be thinking of you.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Have a great weekend. Talk to you next week.
Thank you,
Mr. Clemens. Mike Clemens, he's our 98Q sports reporter. He's on his way to the rookie camp and packing his bags, and he'll spend the next several days whenever that starts, and he brings you sports updates throughout the week, and he joins us live Friday mornings at 8:15 right here.